as we come to our passage in James, well, let's pray first. Father, we thank you again for your word, and we're thankful that you speak truth to us. And Lord, we pray that your word would be opened up in our eyes and in our hearts today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. James was a pastor, and he's writing to a church, and he's writing to a church that's living in a difficult world. And really, we're living in a difficult world. You see a lot of pain, you see a lot of suffering, you experience it in your own life. You see it in the lives of family members and friends. There's financial trouble, there's physical pain, there's grief, there's fighting all over the world. And there's one main source of this, right at the center of it all, that started everything. And the source of it all is sin. It started with our ancestors going way back. Sin entered the world. All of creation was cursed. And we're living under a curse, in a sense, because God says if you sin, you will die. And that's why when there's grief, you just feel so much pain inside of you. The reason for that is because we were meant to live forever. We were meant for eternity. So grief just doesn't make sense. And you always hear people say, when there's been a sudden death, I can't believe it. Right? It doesn't make sense. Because that's not what was meant to be. And there's pain and there's suffering in the world in so many different ways. That's what sin brought into the world. Sin brought two things into the world that really affects us, that really has changed us. The first is pain, all those things I mentioned, and not just physical pain, but emotional pain, stress, and all those things that come along with life. And also, temptation. We are now tempted regularly to sin, to walk away from God, to do things that are self-destructive. And again, that leads us back to pain, right? And leads us to have doubts and leads people to say, well, what's God doing? Why is God silent? Well, James is writing to people who are going through difficult times, and we go in and out of difficult times. But one of the things to remember is this. The world is broken, and Jesus is going to fix it one day, but the world is broken. And that's discouraging in one sense because you wake up every morning in a broken world. But in the other sense, you wake up in a world that even though it's broken, you still have some pretty enjoyable times. Imagine what the next life's going to be like. You can have good days here. I imagine today's a good day, right? You're with your brothers and sisters today worshiping. That's great. And then you're going to go maybe have a family celebration. We're having a big family gathering this afternoon. That's exciting. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday, just looking outside. It was 80 degrees, and I thought back to, like, February. Wow, this is great. And I was on a baseball field, right, with my kids, baseball and softball fields. And what a great day. And Caleb pitched 5 shutout innings and one hit, 7 Ks. Not that I'm bragging. I know, a little bit. But as great as that is, the Lord has greater things yet awaiting us, right? Great as these little blessings that we get through life. But James is writing to a church that's going through some difficulty. So let's read. We're in James chapter 5. It's page 1198 in your Bibles. Actually, 1199. And we're going to pick up with the last couple verses that we read from last week. And here's what James says. This is verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. Now, there's a lot in there, but what James is saying to a world that's full of pain and temptation is be patient. And it's not just he's not talking about the little patient things, like when you're in the line at the grocery store and there's someone up in the front and they're counting out pennies, 31, 32, and you're just saying, it's not that kind of short-term patience that I'm talking about. I'm talking about big picture patience. Patience with what's going on in the world. Patience with what's going on in your life and standing firm. And the idea of standing firm is, look, don't wander away from the Lord. Don't forget about the Lord. Don't think, okay, he's forgotten about me. I got to take things into my own hands. I have to live as if he's just out there and, you know, he's kind of forgotten about me. Stand firm in your faith. And he says, don't grumble. And this is something that we're good at as human beings. It's actually, I think grumbling should be categorized as a contagious disease. Because have you noticed that? When one person starts, it just trickles, right? It just goes through the next person, the next person, the next person. Grumbling is complaining, and it's a type of complaint. It's not a complaint to God, because the Bible says you can do that. The Bible has a book called Lamentations. You can lament and say, Lord, I'm hurting. I need some help here. Help me out. You know, grumbling is, you know, the Lord's, he's forgotten about me, or life is tough, and you know, I know that for a lot of us this winter, I've mentioned this, this is a tough winter. I always have to go into winter with a very focused attitude, because I know my mood goes south. As you know, I'm a warm weather guy. I like the heat. And I just have to really make sure I'm not grumbling. I'm not complaining. And I did it pretty well, except for one day this winter. It was just one of those really bad storms. My back was sore. It was a tough day, and I just wanted to move to Florida. But grumbling doesn't help a situation. Grumbling against God doesn't help a situation. And realizing that the weather, God, you know who's in charge of the weather, right? Okay? And also grumbling against brothers and sisters. Don't grumble against each other. Don't complain about each other. This is what James is saying, because we always have to have in the back of our mind, the Lord is coming, right? Be patient. The Lord is coming. We shouldn't be grumbling. And as I thought about that word grumbling, I thought about the people of Israel when they got taken out of slavery in Egypt and they got brought through the Red Sea and they got delivered. So imagine that. You're in slavery. You're being abused. And God performs 10 miracles, signs and wonders. And then God takes you through the Red Sea. It's like walking through an aquarium that doesn't even have glass, right? You just go right through the middle and you get through the other side and you're delivered. And then they set up camp, and Moses went up on the mountain, and he went up there for 40 days. And what did the people do? They started grumbling. They grumbled against God. Oh, he's forgotten about us. They grumbled against Moses. He's gone. Where'd he go? Right? And you remember what that led them to do? Build a golden calf and start worshiping it. Now, sometimes you read Scripture and you say, how could these people do that? How could these people who've seen God's miracle and seeing God's deliverance, how can they go back to their old idols? How can they go back and wander away from God? But when you catch yourself reading Scripture and thinking like that, here's what I want you to do. Grab a mirror and hold it up to your face. Because don't we do that? Don't we? We've been delivered, right? We've experienced the blessing, the joy, the love of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness, the mercy. Do you ever go back to your old idols? Do you ever go back to your old stuff, the old things that used to give you comfort and really shouldn't give you comfort? I could name a long list of things that you could go back to. God doesn't want us to go back to those things. He wants us to be patient. He wants us to stand firm and not grumble against him and not grumble against each other, because that divides things. That divides people and families and churches. When people grumble against each other or grumble against the pastor, or the pastor grumbles against the church, that's hurtful. Or in a family, when people grumble against each other, God doesn't want to see that. And he tells us to use the prophets and Job as an example. And there's a lot of prophets in the Old Testament. I'll give you a couple. Daniel, remember? Daniel was told he had to pray to a person every day for a month, the king. And Daniel, he didn't say no, he just didn't do it. He just went up to his place of prayer, and he prayed to the Lord God, and he got the death sentence. Except God said, no, I'm going to give him a life sentence, right? God delivered him from the lion's den. That's what our God does. Daniel was faithful and he persevered, but Daniel didn't know what was going to happen. Daniel didn't know when he entered that den of lions that that could have been his last day on earth. He didn't know that, but he was faithful. He persevered. I think of Jeremiah, who spoke the truth to the people of Israel about judgment, and they didn't want to hear it, and they threw him in a big well, a cistern, that was full of mud, and his lower half of his body sunk into it for days. Isn't that a terrible thought right there? He persevered through it. God delivered him through it. And some of the prophets in the Old Testament were killed, but they were delivered into heaven. They persevered for their faith. Then there's Job, who lost his children, who lost his wealth, who lost his own health. And Job, as we read the book of Job, he wasn't a perfect man. He had some thoughts that were off, but at one point Job said, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." God doesn't promise us a bunch of stuff here. He doesn't promise us an easy life here, but he promises to be with us here. And I love what it says here at the end of verse 11. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You going through a tough time? Go to God who is full of compassion and mercy. He loves you. And it says he's coming. The Lord is coming. He is returning. That's an exciting thing to think about. We sang the song today, Days of Elijah, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. That's a great day when he returns. When we think about that, there will be relief coming. Have you ever been in distress and then just been an experience where you found relief? In the Bible, it says the Lord heals up and binds up our wounds. He heals us with ointment, it says. As I read that passage, I was thinking about a time when I was in college, and I was out in the sun all day, and I had sunscreen on every part of me except the tops of my feet. And if you've noticed, I'm pretty white. English, Scottish, and Irish. Doesn't get whiter than that, okay? I had blisters 3 and 4 inches long on the tops of my feet. I could not walk. It was the most pain I've had, probably. I just so uncomfortable, like sun poisoning or whatever they call it. And I went to the emergency room, and they gave me this stuff called either Silvadine or Silvadine. How do you say that, Wendy? Okay, all right. Thanks, Linda, too. All right. Man, that stuff was a relief. They give it to burn victims, you know, people who've been in fires. Oh, it's just not absolutely immediate, but just not too long, and everything kind of went away. The swelling went down. The pain went away. That stuff was great. The Lord is coming. And that's going to be a relief from this world. And he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And, you know, I was thinking about that in terms of us, in terms of us as being God's children. God gives us that analogy. And, you know, have you ever had your parents go away and then they came back? How did you feel about that? Well, if you're doing what's good and what's right, you want to see them again. If you're doing what's wrong, you hope, well, I hope they don't come home just yet. I'm not confessing to anything, Mom and Dad. But, you know, I think about this. When I was a kid, I was 5 years old, and my dad went on a business trip. He had to be in Rome for 3 months, I think it was. And I told him before he left, I said, just don't play with any little Italian kids. And I missed him so much. And as the story goes, I'm not sure if I remember this, but we picked him up at the airport. In the middle of the airport, I just bolted when I saw him because he came back. It's my dad, right? That's how we should be thinking about the Lord's return, right? He's coming. That's an exciting thing. Relief is coming. The Lord is coming. But then on the other side of it, what if you've done wrong? What if something's happened that you know your parents aren't going to be happy with? I remember also when I was a kid, I was always very active and running and jumping and throwing balls and things like that. And I kept breaking my mother's figurines. That kept happening. And she had these angels that were hanging, and I kept breaking them, and I would super glue them so she wouldn't be upset or anything. And once I just shattered them, and they weren't home, and I knew I was going to be in trouble. And, you know, it's just, that's a day when you're a little bit nervous about these people coming home. And let me just say about my mom. I know you see her on Sunday, and she's nice and sweet and caring and loving. And I just want to tell you something. You might wonder what she's like at home. She is like that all the time. I just want you to know that. I'm supposed to honor my mother and father, so today's the Mother's Day, so I give you that today. But one thing she would do that would make me feel really bad is when I did something bad, she would just cry. That's like the worst thing right there. That's worse than any punishment that I could have ever been given. And I want you to think about that, about the Lord's return. Do you want to displease him? Do you want him to not be pleased with what you're doing? And the fact is, he can see you right now anyway. Like, he's away in the sense that we can't see him, but he sees everything that we're doing, right? So, do we want to please him? And finally, this last passage here, the last verse, talks about not swearing and let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. And some people wonder, what does that have to do with the previous section? Well, here's my thought on this. As we look at that, the Lord's returning, and the people that are his, people that love him and have sincere hearts for him, those are the people that will look forward to that day and say what John said at the end of Revelation, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Look for that day. But if you're not a person of integrity, in other words, if you don't have a sincere heart for God, that day is going to be a tough day, right? So as we think about that, and people have asked me, well, is it okay to offer oaths? Is it okay to say an oath? I don't believe that has to do with anything. You shouldn't swear by anything. It says, in other words, people were swearing by things at that time. They were, I swear by, you know, this stick here that I won't do it. And you've heard people say, I swear in my grandmother's grave. I swear in my children. You shouldn't say that. You can make oaths. And Paul says, as God is my witness. He says that a couple times. But if you say that, if God will witness against me, then you better do what you say, right? An oath is okay, but be faithful to the oath, right? Be a person who's full of the Lord and you sincerely want to serve him. So what I'm not saying with this passage is this. I'm not saying, okay, if Jesus returns and you're doing something wrong, you're in trouble. If you're doing something right, you're okay. It's not a works thing, right? If your heart is for the Lord, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you love him, you're one of his. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You belong to him, okay? And your yes will be your yes because you have sincerity of heart. Your no will be your no. You love the Lord. And it goes back to what I talked about a few weeks ago. Remember I put the trees up on the screen there? And if you have Jesus inside of you and that life inside of you, you will produce fruit if you've put your faith in Christ. So that's what this passage and all the passages in James are about. But think of things this way, in terms of living your life. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, what do you want to be doing when he returns? And when is that return going to happen? The Bible says no one knows the hour, but it could be today. It says in James it was near, and God has a different idea of near, I guess, than we do, right? That was 2,000 years ago. But the idea of near is this. It's the next thing that's going to happen in salvation history, is Jesus' return. It's the next thing. It is imminent in the sense that it could be today. It could be in the next 5 minutes. It could be tomorrow. It could be next year. It could be in 20 years. We don't know. But we should live every day like it is the day. And let's look forward to that day when he comes so that we can say, amen, come, Lord Jesus. And we can sing that song, behold, he comes, and we will see him in all his glory. Live like today is the day, every day. Let's pray. Lord, we're in a broken world. We recognize it, and we recognize that we broke it. And we also recognize that Jesus has fixed it. And he will bring about restoration. He will bring about peace. He will take away our pain. And we give you thanks. And Lord, I pray that we would all remain firm and steadfast in our faith. We would not wander and turn back to idols and turn back to things that don't honor you. May we honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.